preachers. Amen. Amen. So, hallelujah. Amen. Good to be here tonight. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you would please. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I suppose what I'm preaching tonight would maybe be more fitting for the closing of a meeting, but God has ordered it for the opening of a meeting. Amen. And this being our first day, and it's just been on my heart, and I actually was just sitting there praying, saying between two different messages, Lord, I believe you want me to preach one of these two messages, and I'm not sure which one. And I don't know who it was this morning. I don't know if it was Pastor or if it was Brother Schindler who said this, maybe even Brother Holtzclaw. We don't need a good message. Amen. We need the right message. And I could stand here tonight and preach 100 different messages, and all of them are awesome. You say, well, that's pretty arrogant of you. No, no, not at all. You know what makes them awesome? They come from the Bible. They come from the Word of God. And it is not a man. It is the power that we find in the Holy Bible. Amen. And we don't need today eloquent speakers. We don't need that. We already have one, Hillary Clinton. Amen. And we don't need good outlines. We don't need a good message. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. As Pastor was saying this morning, it's just amazing. God moves in mysterious ways, and I'm glad that He does, but I'm conducting a camp. We're doing our own camp, and I'm conducting a family camp, and the family camp was supposed to be this week. We were supposed to be spending the week having a family camp out in western Pennsylvania in Punxsutawney, and everything sort of, I won't say it fell apart, but a lot of things began to change, and I began to realize through several different issues that came up that it was not going to work. And so we actually took and moved the camp from this week to this week coming. So when we're done here, we're headed back to get ready for our family camp. And literally about the same day that I made that decision that it was going to happen, I got a telephone call from Pastor Gilmore. And I said, here's what's going on. Is there any way you can come? And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. I don't have anything to do now that week because we just shifted our camp to next week. And I was very grateful to have the opportunity to come and to have the invite to come and to preach. And for several reasons. Number one, because I have a great deal of respect for your pastor. And that is becoming increasingly more difficult to find in this country, men who will still stand for the Word of God. Not only have a great deal of respect for your pastor and for Mrs. Gilmore, but I also am thankful for what God's doing here in this church and thankful for the consistency and the determination. I was preaching this week. I preached a message this week on determined direction. Determined direction. We need some people to have a determined direction in their life. Amen. And I'm glad that the church has a determined direction. I'm glad that Pastor Gilmore hasn't bailed out on what's right and bailed out in the Word of God. Amen. And is still standing by the stuff. Amen. Glad to be here. I'm going to say this just very briefly, and I think my microphone's on. We're okay there. We're on. Amen. But as most of you have noticed, just my wife and I, our children are all grown up now. Matter of fact, our youngest has been out of school now for over 2 years. And all three of our sons are married. And we have three grandchildren, praise the Lord for that, amen. And it's good to be a grandpa, amen. And as most of you know, we are first of our three, a little boy. And he has my first name, my middle name, and my last name, amen. So you can better believe that he's near and dear to grandpa's heart, amen. And then we have a little girl, and she's just the little princess in our family. Our grandson, Mark Curlin, obviously. And then we have a little granddaughter, her name is Lydia Hope Curlin. And praise the Lord for her. And the third one, I'll tell you what it is, upon arrival, amen. We're expecting our third grandchild to be born into this world in January. Our son Tyler, I believe, has preached and sung here, and so he and his wife Caitlin are expecting. And we do praise the Lord for that. Most importantly, I thank God that all my sons married good, godly young ladies. good, godly young ladies who love the Lord, have a sweet, submissive spirit. And I'm thankful for that, and thankful that all four of our children are both faithfully and fervently serving the Lord Jesus Christ in their local New Testament church. Amen. And I'll get to that in a later message here this week. But Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 32, look at verse 7 if you would please. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7, the Bible says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. I'm going to preach this message tonight that I've entitled, Made in America. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the dear people that have gathered under this tent. Lord, I know that you love them and you care for the souls of each one of them individually. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for the First Baptist Church. I thank you, Lord God, for Jesus who came and died on the cross of Calvary so that an old sinner like I would someday recognize my need of Christ Jesus, would recognize my state of sin, and repent and by faith be gloriously saved and born again. I thank you, Father, for your presence this day. Thank you, Lord, for the power. Almighty God, I ask you in Jesus' name now that you would mightily anoint this week of tent meetings, Lord, and all of the preachers that stand behind this pulpit and preach, Father. I pray that you would give them your power. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that as the word goes forward, that it would mightily pierce the hearts and lives of every individual, that none would walk away unaffected, Father. And Lord, we're thankful that your word does not return void. But Father, we ask you to do something in our midst that even exceeds our ability to ask or think. Father, we know you're capable of that. And we pray to a God who is more than able tonight, Lord. And we ask in faith, nothing wavering. Lord God, I pray now that you bless the preaching of your word tonight in a great way. I ask, Lord, that you would move mightily, Father, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, in this message entitled, Made in America, that the Bible says, remember the days of old. I go back in my mind tonight to a time that I have referenced throughout the years, and I don't remember the exact year. It may have been, I believe it could have been 88 or 92, but it was a time when we were in an election year, just like we are this year, and I believe that at that time, Senator Bob Dole, if I'm not mistaken, was running for president. And I remember a specific debate that was taking place, and Bob Dole made a statement, and he said that America needs to build a bridge to the past. He said, America needs to build a bridge to the past. And then I remember Hillary Clinton, as she had her opportunity to make a statement, a comment, and she said, Senator Dole, America does not need to build a bridge to the past, but America needs to build a bridge to the future. And boy, everybody cheered and clapped their hands and applauded Hillary. But anyway, let me just say to you that Hillary lied. Amen. That wasn't the first time, but she lied. America did not need to build a bridge to the future then, and America today does not need to build a bridge to the future. America needs to build a bridge to the past. And God said, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Pastor, he wasn't referencing generations to come, but he was referencing generations past. And then I want you to notice these words. He said, ask thy father. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say something to you today. We are staring down the face of today's generation of disrespectful young people who don't care what daddy has to say, don't care what mama has to say, wouldn't listen to what grandma and grandpa had to say, because the young whippersnapper generation thinks they know it all today. And God said, you ask your daddy. Hey, you beseech your granddaddy. Tell me what it was like. Tell me what yesteryear was like. Go to the ancients, go to the elders and ask them so you can glean a little wisdom of the way things used to be. Because our older generation understand that we have departed from the faith, and as a nation we walked away from the very fundamentals that built this country and established this nation to be great. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to hold anything back tonight. I may completely change the course in the next two nights if God allows me to stand here again. But tonight I won't hold anything back. And I'm going to tell you this, America, which has been a nation that has been noted for a lot of wonderful things, a lot of creativity. Back in the 50s, she was an industrious nation, and I believe was literally the glitter of the entire planet. I believe that all of the other nations looked to America for the greatness that she had established. But that is no longer the case today. The other nations look at America with disdain. They look at America with hatred. They look at America and they mock her today. And listen to me, there's a reason for that. America has in many ways been a nation that has had many geniuses, many inventors, many creators. But as I said in my title, this message titled Made in America Tonight, I believe that sadly enough, the one thing that America will be most noted for as the future generations look back upon history, I believe the one thing that America will be most noted for, I believe the one thing that America has made that she will be remembered for is a mess. I believe that America has made a mess of herself. You call me unpatriotic if you want to, but listen to me. The wise will call me honest. As Pastor said, I'm going to be straightforward, gun barrel straight in the message tonight. And brothers and sisters, this nation that we have today has clearly made a mess of itself. We are in peril tonight. We are in dire straits tonight. We are in trouble tonight. And listen to me. America has made a mess of itself. We don't have another country to blame. Are you listening tonight? We can't blame Russia. Are you listening? We can't blame the continent of Africa tonight. We can't blame the Arab nations tonight. We have no one to blame but ourselves. And I believe that America, by her own decisions and by her own choice, has chosen to go down the tubes. And brothers and sisters, I want you to see tonight from the Word of God what we have done and the foolish errors we have done in America to make a mess of our nation. Number one, I want you to see tonight that America has made a mess of itself because, first of all, we've forgotten God. We have forgotten God. I suppose that there's other preachers not here tonight. I don't believe, I hope not, that would stand here and sugarcoat it. That would try to walk through the auditorium and pass out some jaded lenses so that you might look through obscured vision tonight and see an America that truly doesn't exist. But I want you tonight to have eyes that are clearer than the noonday. God wants you tonight to see straight forward. And I'm going to tell you tonight that America has made a mess of herself as a nation because she has forgotten God. The Bible says, "This is the lot, the portion of measure from me, saith the Lord. Because thou hast forgotten me." May I say to you tonight that there are a lot of people with great anticipation as to what might take place in this upcoming election. There are a lot of people tonight that say, well, this is the last opportunity. This may be the last stand. This may be the last hope for America. Someone said it this morning. I herald it. I've repeated it many times in my ministry. The hope for America is not in politics. Amen. And it's not in the White House. The hope for America is in the pulpit, in the pew of our Bible-believing churches. And the hope for America is not in the White House. It's in God's house. Amen. But our nation, and I speak of our nation tonight, our nation, sadly enough, has forgotten God. You think about this. This is the lot, God said. We look today and say, what's wrong with America? Man, we're in trouble. And I'm not going to be unpatriotic tonight, but I want to tell you something. My pledge of allegiance and my loyalty is to the Christian flag, and my loyalty to the very end until my death will be to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody said it this morning, America has changed and she continues to change. And you ask yourself tonight, how in the world can we honor a nation that by their own discretion and by their own determination has lit up the White House with the colors of the homosexual flag? How can we honor a nation today that has determined to send our precious little girls into the bathrooms in public place where some sicko is waiting? Are you listening to me tonight? We've forgotten God. This isn't about Republican and Democrat. It's about right and wrong. Are you listening tonight? This isn't about some political candidate. This isn't about Donald Trump. It's not about the Republican Party. It's not about Hillary. Are you listening tonight? It's about God and it's about righteousness. And it was righteousness that established this nation. But we have forgotten God. In 1963, the intellects, if you will, at least according to society, the people who have smarts and wisdom and brains, they don't, by the way, in the eyes of Almighty God, nor in the eyes of this preacher. But our nation made a decision to take prayer and Bible reading out of the government school system. We removed from, you say, what are the government schools? Y'all call them public schools. By the way, show me one thing that our government has done well. There isn't hardly anybody, Republican or Democrat, that thinks our government has exceeded and done things really good or really well. Again, this isn't about a particular party. It's about right or wrong. Let me ask you a question. If our government can't do anything else right, why would we entrust to our government's care? Why would we entrust our most prized possession, and that is our precious descendants, our children and our grandchildren? But they had the mindset to remove prayer and Bible reading out of our government schools. I was just talking to somebody yesterday. I was witnessing to someone and I said, in 1963, the greatest sin and the greatest crime that plagued our government schools, the public school system in America, the number one offense in the government schools, the number one offense in our public schools was speaking out of turn. Can you imagine that? Talking when you weren't supposed to be talking. It was followed, the number two offense was chewing gum. Fast forward to this generation, the number one offense in our government schools today is extortion followed by rape. Extortion followed by rape. That's a big difference between chewing gum and talking when you shouldn't be talking. You say, what happened? We forgot God. We forgot God. You listen to me tonight, brothers and sisters. There is no hope. There is no plan. There is nothing that will save America or turn America back to a path of success and a path of greatness if we are, as a nation, refusing to recall what our forefathers recalled, and that is to have continuously in their minds the thoughts of God and the precepts of the Word of God. We have forgotten God. It was in the year of 1783... a man by the name of Ezra Stiles, who was an old-fashioned preacher. Ezra Stiles was delivering a message out of the book of Genesis, chapter 9, in 1783. And he was talking about the destiny of America in accordance with the Word of God. You know who Ezra Stiles was? Ezra Stiles, listen carefully. Ezra Stiles, the old-fashioned Bible preacher. Ezra Stiles was the president of Yale University. You won't find an old-fashioned preacher allowed on the premises of Yale University today. Are you listening? By the way, Yale University was started by 10 Bible preachers. You say, what happened? That was 1783. It was at a time when, in the forefront of the knowledge of citizens as well as leaders, God was preeminent. I believe today that we have forgotten God. The Bible says, and I want to ask you to turn there, but in Hebrews the Bible says this, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. I want to say something to you tonight. I don't want God to forget my kids. I don't want my kids to be raised in a nation and in a generation where God has turned His countenance away from this country. I do not want to see this day that not only is fast approaching, but has arrived, take place. I am saddened by what's happening in America, but God says, you forgot my laws. And He said, I will forget your children. You know what God was saying? Your descendants won't be blessed. They will not have the remembrance that former generations had. I don't want that to happen, because when we forget God, God removes His blessing from a nation, and that's what we're seeing today. Our nation is descending rapidly down a slippery slalom right into the depths of hell. So what's happened? We've forgotten God. I want to make this statement to you, and then I'm going to tell you who said it. Bad men, we know a lot of them. Bad men cannot make good citizens. It is impossible, listen very carefully to this, please. It is impossible that a nation of infidels and idolaters should be a nation of free men. Did you hear that? Bad men cannot make good citizens. It is impossible that a nation of infidels and idolaters should be a nation of free men. It is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. It is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. By the way, that's what's happening today. As of today, we have a president who could care less about the Constitution. And by the way, he could care less about God. Yeah. Oh, I'm a Christian. He is a split-tongue liar and a devil. He's done everything that he can to promote sodomy. And you listen to me tonight. I declare, I don't care what the public thinks or worried about what our government thinks tonight. I'm worried about what God thinks. If there's going to be a chance for America to turn back, we need to preach it and tell it like it is. Sodomy is not only sin. God said it's an abomination. Are you listening tonight? And he's done everything he can to forward the agenda of the LGBT community. You listen to me tonight. Our president is a sinner. He is a wicked man, but he is a sick man. And he is not by any means, in any way, any shape, any form, a tool of God. He is a tool of the devil. What's he have to show for his great accomplishments? JFK put a man on the moon. Obama put a man in the woman's restroom. Oh my. Listen to me tonight. We're in trouble. Because we have forgotten God. I've seen pictures, Pastor, of men who were leaders of the United States of America, and they weren't even professing Christians. I've seen pictures of them bowing on their knee, praying to God Jehovah. By the way, there is only one God. Are you listening tonight? There is only one God tonight. This nation was not found on any other religion. And the religion that our forefathers spoke of was a religion of Christianity. And Jesus Christ alone is God. And beside Him there is no other God. He alone is God. He alone can save. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. Aren't you afraid to say that? I'm afraid not to say it. I'm here to tell you something tonight. Muhammad didn't die on the cross of Calvary for my sins. You say, what do the Muslims need? They need Jesus Christ. By the way, the same Savior that died for me died for every Muslim. Are you listening tonight? And you were no better than any one of them before you got saved. Are you listening tonight? The answer is Jesus Christ. That is the faith, and that is the religion that this nation was founded upon. Brothers and sisters, we have forgotten God tonight, and it has caused nothing but upheaval. It has caused dissension. It has caused nothing but problems, and we are going downhill tonight faster. Who would have believed that 2 years ago we would have ever seen this country slip into the mess that we're in tonight? How fast and how rapidly has homosexuality become the prevalent thing today in society? I mean to tell you what, the homosexuals, they're not interested in you accepting them or tolerating them. They want you to promote them. They go to all the big businesses, and if they don't donate and give funds to the LGBT community, they do everything they can to bash them and browbeat them. They do everything that they can possibly do within their means to try to humiliate them and publicize their lack of support until they begin to channel hundreds of thousands of dollars to the... By the way, they're well-funded, the LGBT. Again, they don't want people to accept them. They want to be promoted, and they want to use the dollars, even of independent companies as well as publicly held companies, to use their money and mandate that they give them money to forward the cause of homosexuality. We've forgotten God. We've forgotten God. We're in a war tonight, by the way. Do you understand that? We got preachers, pastor, and evangelists that are running around this nation in our circle in the independent Baptist church that are telling people, listen, we may not necessarily like it, but if the government mandates that we turn in our guns, we have to be obedient to the laws of the land. The King James Bible that they proclaimed to uphold is the one that they failed to read, by the way. That's not what the Bible says. Well, what are you going to do with Romans 13:1? Just obey it. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. May I tell you something tonight? First of all, there is no higher power than God. There is no higher power than the Word of God. Remember the statement I made just a few minutes ago. Bad men cannot make good citizens. It is impossible that a nation of infidels and idolaters should be a nation of free men. It is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. Well, when the government by executive mandates comes in and says we have to surrender our guns and so forth, and that is now the proclaimed law of the land, you just stand up and fight and know that you have God on your side. Say, preacher, I don't understand. What's the point? Listen to me tonight. The laws of the land are the United States Constitution. Did you get that? Which guarantees. It's not a privilege, but it is a right of every citizen to bear arms. Did you get that? I don't care what Obama says. I don't care what Hildeby says. I don't care what Donald Trump says. I don't care what anyone says. We have the right under the United States Constitution of America to bear arms. And by the way, that doesn't mean that you have the right to own a gun. That means you have the right to carry one on your persons. Amen. You know what's wrong with America today? We got people that will not stand up for what's right. They'd rather kowtow and they'd rather turn their tail and not take a stand and fight. We are in the greatest battle, I believe, that our nation has ever been engaged in. And we've got to get back to remembering God. Amen. Not only have we forgotten God, but let me give you this secondly. We failed to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers. The Holtzclaws just sang about that. Brothers and sisters, we had some men and women who laid out a trail and walked a path of righteousness long before this generation. By the way, I thank God for every one of you senior saints that are in here tonight and you senior citizens that are here. The older men and women that are here, they remember a day and they remember an age when America was far different from what she is today. They remember a time frame, are you listening? When America was an altogether different country. When America was respected. When America was regarded not only as a superpower, but a nation that was founded on the principles of Christianity. Now I'm going to say something tonight that's controversial. Up to this point I haven't said anything controversial, but I'm going to make... One, Let me say something to you. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. You won't find a more controversial figure than Jesus Christ. You better get that tonight. Pastor, our problems in America are just because, and I mean this, and it's not because I'm preaching, but the entire nation needs to hear what's being said tonight. This message ought to be preached in every single church across this land tonight. I'm not ashamed of what I'm preaching tonight. I'm not ashamed of the stand that I take on the Word of God. I'm not going to apologize for it, and I'm not going to back down. When God called me to preach, He called me to be an evangelist, and I love my country, I love America, and I want to see this nation and turn back to God. Amen. I'm not in any way condoning this, but I just want you to hear this. When our forefathers came over here and they were establishing the early colonies, if you didn't show up for church on Sunday, they put you in jail. Hello? That's not what God wanted them to do. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Some are going to say, boy, that guy's crazy. I'm not condoning that in any way, but I said all that to say this. That's how they had a little bit too much zeal, amen, and not quite enough knowledge, amen. But that's not the will of God. That's not Christianity. But that's how serious, Pastor, they were about serving the Lord. They said, Sunday comes, you'll be in church. If you ain't in church, you better be on your deathbed or we're going to lock you up in the clinker. Let you think about that. That happened in the establishment of the early colonies. That's how determined they were to serve the Lord. By the way, listen to me. Listen to me. We are living in a day and age where we have almost completely and entirely forgotten the footsteps of our forefathers. We don't care what grandma and grandpa did. They're just a bunch of old codgers. They didn't know anything. They weren't hip to this generation. They lack understanding. They can't connect with society. If we would get back to the ways of grandma and grandpa, our nation would be a far greater and far stronger nation than she's ever been. Are you listening tonight? Thank God for the old. By the way, remember our text verse, ask thy father and he will show thee. Thy mother, she will tell thee. We failed to. It was Paul who said this. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. And I'm not in any way proclaiming that we ought to have some blind endeavor to just follow blindly. No, we should follow people as they follow Jesus. But thank God for the older generations who loved God, who went to the house of God when the doors are open, who took a stand for what was right and didn't care whether someone got mad, whether someone walked away, whether someone badmouthed them. They knew what was right and they stood for what was right. And today we have a generation that, man, I remember my grandma and grandpa on both sides. My grandma and grandpa, my mom and dad's side were Pennsylvania Dutch. Thus interpreted, stubborn. I have just a teeny tiny bit of that in my character. By the way, it's all right to be stubborn if you're stubborn for God. Amen. It's all right to be hard-headed if you're hard-headed in the right direction. And I want to tell you something. When you oppose Granddaddy, and I saw some men try to do that, he was a businessman, very well established. Let me tell you something, you knew where he stood when he was done. And boy, I want to tell you, you better have more than sure footing. And I never saw my grandfather hit anybody, but you better have more than sure footing for where you were standing if you were going to oppose him. Today, all we're doing is apologizing for what's right. Everything that's right today, we apologize. We make excuses. Listen to me. I don't need anybody to apologize for what I'm saying tonight. I don't need anybody to make excuses for the preaching of the Word of God tonight. We're in trouble because we failed to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers. In my mom and dad's day, let alone grandma and grandpa, they never thought they would see a day. That they would have to be concerned about their children or grandchildren walking into a bathroom where somebody from the opposite sex,
who has some weird ideas. And by the way, let me just say this to you, because I'm not going to get to it after this. Homosexuality is a choice. To say someone was born that way is nothing short of saying God made a mistake.
Whoever thought that we would have to devote a lot of our time in preaching, Pastor Gilmore, in 2016, we would have to devote a lot of our time in preaching against homosexuality in an independent Bible-believing church. By the way, we've fallen right, and it needs to be preached, but we've fallen right into the devil's trap. We're spending more time preaching against the sins of our day, and we need to do that. God set the watchman in the watchtower, and he told him, you preach against the approaching dangers that are coming onto the land. But I want to tell you something. In many cases, it's taken away from the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people aren't getting saved. We're having to fight a battle just to keep Christians on the right path. Our public school systems are led by a liberal teachers' labor union. Even the liberal teachers' labor union doesn't deny that. But we got Christians who'll be all uptight and offended tonight because I'm talking about the public school system. They're wonderful. They've gone into our history books and they've taken absolutely important, pertinent facts about our nation's history. They've completely removed them and they've replaced them with absolute lies. They tell our children God did not create the earth.
Amen.
Science prevails over the Word of God. By the way, we don't need creation evangelists to prove to us that God created the world.
Amen.
The Bible says by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. What did God say? By faith we understand. I'm all for the facts, statistics, and figures. I enjoy listening to them. I enjoy seeing that come together. But that doesn't do anything to bolster my faith in God's creation. That doesn't do anything to cause me to believe that God created the world. I already believe it 100%. Amen. In the history books of the United States of America, they are now teaching the young people that the first terrorists on American soil were the Pilgrims. Fact. That's not a fact, but that's what they're teaching the young people. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The first Thanksgiving, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I'm going to be real close. The first Thanksgiving was in the neighborhood, I believe, of about 30-some pilgrims who entertained, I believe, in the neighborhood of 70-some Indians. 30-some pilgrims who entertained. Let me help you to understand what entertainment is. They fed them, they showered them with gifts, and treated them like friends and royalty. The pilgrims did that to the Indians. And that's what they should have done. But the first Thanksgiving was when around 30 or so pilgrims fed, entertained, gave gifts to, and befriended the Indians. Around 70. That's the first. Now you just heard the truth. We're lying to the generations of young people that are coming. You say, what happens when we continue to put our kids through government education, then send them off to secular colleges? Let me tell you what happens to them. We raise up a generation of young people who are now in their 20s, and they're all voting for Bernie Sanders, an absolutely open, admitted socialist, to be the president of the United States of America. It is not the senior citizens of America who brought Bernie Sanders to the plot. I know he's not the candidate anymore, but it is not the senior citizens of America who brought Bernie Sanders to the platform that he was brought to in the candidacy for president. It was the kids. It was the young people. Are you listening tonight? I'm trying to tell you what's wrong with America. You say, why do we need to know what's wrong with America? We need to know what's wrong with America so we can know what to do to make America right again. We have forgotten God, but we have failed to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers. The Bible says in John 15 and verse 5, without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. Ye can do nothing.
It grieves me and breaks my heart to say this, but God gave me this thought this morning. We were singing the song, I believe God bless America, this morning in the church house. And I have this thought of Brother Holtzclaw, which has been running and coursing through my mind over and over again. I find it increasingly more difficult, Pastor, to ask God to bless America. I wonder in my mind tonight, to be honest with you, how can God bless unrighteousness? Are you listening? Can we honestly, from the depths of our heart and from a spiritual perspective, ask God to bless wickedness and unrighteousness? And I'm going to say this tonight. I want to make a declaration tonight. There is no way that God can, in its entirety or in America's entirety, there is no way that God can bless this nation. You take your Bible tonight and you show me from your King James Bible one place where God intentionally poured out His blessing upon wickedness and unrighteousness. But I'm thankful tonight. You said, well, what do you even bother preaching for? Because I'm thankful tonight God can bless the remnant. Amen. The America, the nation that grandma and grandpa pledged their allegiance to, and pledging their allegiance to the republic for which it stands, that America does not exist today. And the America that our precious men and women went off to fight for and laid down their lives and put themselves in harm's way day after day, our valiant soldiers in every branch of the military, that America does not exist today. We are in sad trouble. We are in sad shape today. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. We have forgotten the footsteps that our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas walked in. Listen very carefully and I'll move on to my last point. Boy, if this doesn't strike home tonight. The Bible says they sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. Now listen to this. To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Sound familiar? Do we have today in America new gods that have come newly up whom our fathers feared not? I can still remember, Pastor. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, I believe it was either 1999 or 2000. It was the first time that somebody came to me and said, do you know, have you ever heard of Islam? Do you know what this is a grown adult. Matter of fact, the person I believe is about in their 60s. Do you know what a Muslim is? And I said, well, I've heard of the religion, but no, I really don't have any idea. Do you realize that was only 16 years ago? To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. It wasn't that those gods didn't exist before, but those gods have now been introduced to the land and to a nation of people whom their fathers feared not. Can I tell you something? We have our fathers today fearing the God of Islam. America is scared to death. Do you not understand that? Brothers and sisters, we are in trouble today because we have forgotten God, but we are in trouble today because we failed to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers. There's a final thing I want to say to you. We're in trouble today and America has made a mess of herself because we have forged our own path. A man of God was preaching this morning out of the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. And I have to be honest with you, Brother Schindler, my mind was on some verses that followed your text this morning. It's all good. But I was thinking about this morning, where we see in Jeremiah chapter 2, God saying this, my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the true and living God. And then secondly, he said they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which will hold no water. We have decided to do it our way. This is the new America. This is the new generation. This is the new way. Can I tell you something? The way we are doing things as a nation is nothing but a disaster and it's nothing but a mess. We need to get back to the way America used to do things. And Grandma, you praise God again for the senior saints that are here tonight. We need to do things the way we did them in the day and the age of our precious seniors that sit here tonight. They came from a generation of strength. They came from a generation of honor. They came from a generation of determination. They came from a generation of righteousness. The Bible still says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're not seeing the departure from iniquity today. We're seeing people run to iniquity. We're seeing people wrap their arms around. The Bible says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. It wasn't Grandma and Grandpa's day and age when even in the North, they knew what put on your Sunday best meant. Now it's slop to the church house in a pair of ragged old jeans and a t-shirt that you spilled barbecue on last night. God don't care what you look like, come as you are. We'll go to all... I know a guy said, I don't wear suits. Then I saw him at a wedding, he had a tuxedo on. I said, well, I guess he does. We can go to funerals dressed up, we don't even do that. I've been to funerals, preached funerals already. People come in ragged old cut-off shorts and t-shirts, sleeveless t-shirts and garbage like that. There's no respect today. And we surely are in trouble. But brothers and sisters, I'm sad to say, we're doing things our own way. We've decided to do things the way we deem best. Brothers and sisters, there's only one way that's best, and that's God's way. And that is clearly laid out in this old King James Bible, and we need to get back to it. The Bible said, they made them crooked paths. Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper you. America, are you listening tonight? You've transgressed the commandments of God, but it shall not prosper you. It shall not prosper you. It shall not prosper you. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32 and 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten the God that formed thee. You say, Brother Curlin, how bad is America? I'm glad you asked that tonight. I want to, in conclusion, read this very quickly and I ask you to listen. I'm going to read some events that have unfolded in our nation, in our nation's recent history, and I'm going to read them tonight to the words of America the Beautiful. Please listen. O beautiful for spacious skies. After bringing two children into the world, a married couple suddenly decided to reverse roles and gender via a joint sex change operation. The 5'4" wife, Jean, became hubby Tom, while Harry, the 6'8" husband, was transformed into the new wife, Sheila Marie. By the way, Bruce Jenner is sick. The answer for Bruce Jenner is Jesus Christ. For Amber, waves of grain. When a Pennsylvania man ignored his wife's demand to go out for pizza during halftime ceremonies, his infuriated spouse stabbed him 5 times. For Purple Mountain's majesties, unable to secure a babysitter for the purpose of attending her own birthday party, a teenage mother dumped her 39-day-old daughter down the trash chute incinerator compactor of her Chicago. Let me repeat that. Chicago. Let me say that one more time. Chicago high-rise apartment. Above the fruited plain, while one teacher's method of discipline in Indianapolis, Indiana, called for the good students in her 5th grade class to spit on the ill-behaved ones, another instructor in Rhode Island forced a particular student to lick saliva off the playground during recess. America, America, God shed His grace on thee. An 8-year-old Chicago boy pulled a pistol out of his lunchbox and shot an 8-year-old girl in the back during reading class. And crown thy good with brotherhood. School officials in Chicago were called on the carpet by a number of angry parents concerning a math test that was administered to their 6th grade children. 2 of the 8 questions read as follows.
Hector knocked, and I won't even say the second word. It was an old slang phrase that was used for getting a girl pregnant. The first word is knocked. The second word is a two-letter word. But I'll use the word impregnated. Hector impregnated six girls in his gang. There are 27 girls in Hector's gang. What percentage of girls in Hector's gang did Hector knock or impregnate? That is a real question in a real public school to real sixth grade students in, of course, Chicago. The next question. Martin wants to cut his half pound of heroin to make 20% more profit. How much of Martin's heroin will he need to cut? From sea to shining sea, when a five-year-old boy refused to steal candy for two juveniles ages 10 and 11, he was dropped to his death from a 14th-story window of his Chicago high-rise. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet. In recent history, the generations can now choose between such classic classes as relaxation tech in the University of Iowa, movie and the malls in the university. These are real classes offered in secular colleges. Movies and the malls in the University of Buffalo, comic books and American culture, the University of Iowa, and am I really what the soap opera tells me I am, Buena Vista College, whose stern impassioned stress. Arriving home from work, a Pittsburgh mother discovered the following suicidal note by her twin 10-year-old sons. We committed suicide because we are no good and no longer part of this family. So long from us. Sorry about this. A thoroughfare for Freedom Beat. A Labrador retriever named Sadie was ordained as a minister of faith by a church in San Rafael, California. The $15 fee included an official certificate of ordination. That dog is probably more fit to be ordained as a minister of the gospel than some homosexual. Across the wilderness, while the Illinois Department of Conservation received a mere $180,000 to study owl vomit, a program in a massive federal farm bill requested $19 million to study the effects of cows belching on global warming. Thank you, Al. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Hillary Rodham Clinton donated several pairs of her husband's presidential underwear to the Salvation Army and Goodwill Industries. They deducted the donation from their income tax return. She also threw in a few pairs of Chelsea's undergarments as well. Confirm thy soul in self-control, determining that such victims as Jeffrey Dahmer shall not die in vain. American entrepreneurs have targeted juvenile markets for two exciting production releases, Sex Maniac Trading Cards by First Amendment Publishing and Psycho Killer Comic by Comic Zone Productions. Thy liberty in law, the following solicitation appeared in the Boston Globe newspaper under the heading of Men Seeking Men. Gay white male, 35, quiet, romantic, sensitive, honest, looking for a relationship based on old-fashioned morals. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved. A Pennsylvania man killed his friend by shooting him in the chest with a bow and arrow over a Monopoly game. The Bucks County District Attorney said that the defendant wanted to be the car rather than the thimble or the hat. In liberating strife, less than 6 months after Roe versus Wade, a research team at Case Western University decapitated a dozen live babies. They placed feeding tubes into their brains and their main arteries to keep the heads alive for experimentation. Dr. Peter Adams, the associate professor of pediatrics, defended the procedure, saying that once society declared the fetus dead and abrogated its rights, he doesn't see any ethical problem. I pray that he comes to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, but he doesn't. If he doesn't, he'll rot in hell, and he'll do so deservingly. Amen. Who more than self their country loved.
From east to west, America's finest have lost a lot of ground to the times when two New York City patrolmen uncovered a pair of bodies that the mafia had dumped into the East River precinct. They simply dragged their corpses downriver into the adjacent precinct to avoid having to investigate the case. And mercy more than life. A 31-year-old Texas woman was given a 35-year prison sentence by a district court judge for the crime of stealing a 12-ounce, $2 can of Spam. After the stabbing death of his own wife and a failed suicide attempt, a 73-year-old Florida man was sentenced by a county circuit judge to watch the movie It's a Wonderful Life. While participating in a national conference of family court judges discussing the epidemic of child abuse in America, one of the judges was an Alabama judge who was arrested and charged with molesting the 13-year-old grandson of a fellow judge who was in attendance. America, America, may God thy gold refine. In one particular year, Arizona officials announced a new get tough policy for incorrigible troublemakers. It was opposed, of course, by the ACLU. The new get tough unusual punishment opposed by the ACLU called for offenders to be served 21 consecutive meals of meatloaf. Till all success be nobleness. A man convicted of murdering his wife sued the state of Oklahoma for $60 million because he claimed he was forced to view the grisly photographs of her mutilated body. The con claimed that he is to this date suffering from mental trauma. While hammering a 71-year-old victim senseless, a 23-year-old mugger became paralyzed from bullets fired by arriving police. After serving 3-year sentence, the streetwise ex-con filed a suit against the state of New York, alleging the unjustifiable use of deadly force. He was awarded $4.3 million in the settlement. And every grain divine, a 61-year-old Pennsylvania man stabbed his 55-year-old wife 219 times because he didn't like the way she stacked the food in the freezer. A 73-year-old Arkansas woman shot her 35-year-old son after he threw the dinner on the floor. A 90-year-old Florida man murdered his bride of less than 1 week during an argument over whether or not they should go and take a honeymoon. Oh, beautiful for patriot's dream that sees beyond the years. Thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Lester Roloff was right. America has become an insane asylum that is run by the inmates. I want you to turn in closing, if you would. Open your Bibles, if you would. Turn in closing to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, I read in conclusion, Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 22, the Bible says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refuse, you say, when did God call?" He has been using the preachers of the word of God for decades. He said, "I called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproofs. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." You say, "Preacher, it seems like America today is becoming more foolish and doing more idiotic things than she has ever done before." Yes, that's because the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Did you hear me? The beginning. Did you hear me? The beginning of wisdom. And when a nation has chosen to no longer fear God, she is no longer a wise nation. Right by that song, God Bless America, right by the song that we sang this morning was a Bible verse. It's sort of condemning, in one way, of the very song that our nation has sung for so long. The verse, forget the song, the verse, which is God's Word, says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Pastor, I hate to say this, but Obama was right. America is no longer a Christian nation. He didn't lie. He didn't lie when he said that of this nation as a whole. God said, "When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof." Verse 31 said, "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." If we get Hillary in November, we get what we deserve. She will replace the vacated seats on the Supreme Court with godless people who hate the Constitution and hate the Word of God and hate everything that this church and your pastor has stood for. Are you listening? So then why do you even bother coming and preaching? Because of verse 33. "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." I am not proud tonight of what America has made of herself. But I still love this country. And a lot of men and women gave their life for this nation. And so much was done to sacrifice for the foundations of this country being laid, and for the honor of those men and women who walked in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and for the honor of so many who have done so much to defend our freedom, and for the honor of those that still stand tonight with me and stand with the Word of God, I will preach to my dying day with my very last breath in the hopes and prayers that America will turn back. And there still is hope, Pastor, with God. Thank you, Lord. All things are possible. And it is still possible that America can turn back. It is still possible that she can see revival if God's people, which are called by His name. And I don't preach tonight to the political establishment of Washington. I don't preach tonight to the potential candidates for presidency. I preach tonight to the people who have the ability and the wherewithal in their own hands. You say, no, in God's hands. No, I said in their hands. In their hands. To see America come back to God. Because the answer lies not in Washington. It lies right here under this tent tonight. So with that in mind, would you bow your heads, please? I'm going to ask Sister Elizabeth to come to the piano.